Thank you, ensemble. What a blessing. It was tremendous. The Lord, of course, has been such a wonderful comfort to me over the years of my salvation, and he's just always so good. And, of course, my wife is just my best friend and just always there, and we've been through a lot of tough times. But I guess as far as humans are concerned and not my wife, Dr. Tom Williams has been maybe my best friend as far as a guy that comforts me and helps me. And I was sitting thinking these last few days of the times that Brother Williams has been so special to me, and the times that when my mom had Alzheimer's. And Brother Williams, of course, he knew my mom. He had spent time at our church, and we had fellowshipped. And he was a help to me then. When Brother Ken Dehas died, you've heard me make reference to that. My assistant, Brother Williams, actually came and helped with the funeral, and was just such a blessing, one of the ones that just helped me get through that time. Times that my wife and I went through, and just unbelievable things in our lives that were seemed like impossible situations. And Brother Williams had us come out to his house in Montana, and we spent some time there, and we're loved, and that's the kind of guy he is. I remember when I came here, and of course Brother Williams had recommended me to this church, but he also was one of my references, and somebody that was not real happy about me coming said, you know, your references, like Tom Williams, they only said nice things about you because they're your friend. And I said, isn't that wonderful? Somebody to say nice things about you, that's your friend. And he really is a friend, and he's my friend. And he's a doctor. He's done so many great things. But the greatest thing I can ever talk about is he's my friend. Dr. Williams, you come.
All right. Anything? Dr. Howells always said, if he hated anything worse than an ovation, it was not getting one. it's always a joy to come here. I've been coming here a lot of years, and Dr. Cox was here, and then Toby Weaver was here, and now my dear friend Brother Rogers and his wife and children, and I thank the Lord for Berean Baptist. Thank you for your support of our ministry every month here at the church, and this is a wonderful Sunday night crowd, really is, and I'm delighted. I thank the Lord for your presence, and Ms. Williams and I certainly have enjoyed being here, and I didn't see anybody new tonight, so I'm not going to have Ms. Williams stand again this evening, but we really rejoice. Ms. Williams will be speaking tomorrow night. We'll be calling the ladies' roll of this church. If you're not present, we'll be mad. We expect to have a great crowd tomorrow night, okay? I know, I'm just kidding. You be here if you can. Ms. Williams will be a blessing to you and a help to you, and you'll just have another good night of fellowship. Some people say, what do you want me to do? Just live at church? Well, it ain't a bad address, it could be a lot worse. But I'm glad you're here tonight, and I praise the Lord for your attendance at the School of Prayer. That was great, and thank the Lord for it. Pray for these. We're going to try to put them on all over the nation instead of just in Hammond. And this is really our first one since we have decided to just move right across the nation, maybe doing 15 or 20 of them this year. And they're beginning to line up all over the country. I hope that you'll be praying. Pray for our ministry. Pray for the TJ Ranch. Pray that Ms. Williams and I have wisdom. Please pray for our Belgrade property, the beautiful home and everything we had at Belgrade, 16 acres and all, been on the market 3 years last month, and not even one offer, not even a bad offer. One guy was complaining about getting a bad offer. I said, man, bad offer is better than no offer. But it's a beautiful, beautiful place. Everybody sees it, loves it, and said, my, why doesn't this place sell? And we know God's on the throne, and we believe that with all of our heart, and we know the Lord will sell it in his good time. But if you'd pray for us, that would be a great blessing to us if that would sell. And then that God would help us to do with the Belt property what he'd have done there where the ranch is. And I hope you'll get one of the prayer cards off the table and pray for us. It'd be a great blessing to us. Ms. Williams and I have some tremendous decisions to make over the next several months and concerning our ministry, and also we hope that you'll pray for us. Pray for the Highfill family, H-I-G-H-F-I-L-L, Highfill. They work for us. So you pray for them. They're a tremendous, tremendous asset to our ministry, and we're thankful for them. You pray for them, if you would please, that God would bless and lead them also. So we appreciate that. A lot of folks ask me how my health is. As far as I know, it's good. I tell them I have some of the things that go with the territory, otherwise, I feel good. I still do some exercising and just basically feel good. My right arm 16 years ago just started hurting. They can't find where it is. I've been to specialists and everything. They don't know why it hurts, but it's a pinched nerve, I suppose, because they say if these fingers are absolutely numb, it has to be a pinched nerve. This hand is asleep right now. It's hurting. It does that all the day long, every day. But the only way I can sleep at night normally is just hang it off the bed and get some relief, a little bit of relief in it, and then try to get off to sleep, and then a little while later wake up. But if you'll pray about our health, we appreciate that. We'd like to keep going for the Lord. People say, when are you going to retire? And I said, I don't entertain that thought. I'm going to serve the Lord as long as I possibly can. I'm like Billy Sunday. As long as I got feet, I'm going to kick the devil. As long as I got fists, I'm going to beat on him. As long as I got teeth, I'm going to chew on him. And when my teeth are gone, I'm going to gum him to death. Amen. I hope you'll pray. Pray for Ms. Williams' health, please, strengthen her. She literally gave her health for the former Ms. Williams and unbelievably so. But if you'd pray for her, please, we'd appreciate it very, very much. We start home Tuesday morning. We leave here about 9 o'clock, drive to Chicago, and catch the train back to Montana. It takes about 24 hours to get there. Then we'll be home for about 3 days, drive down to Livingston, Montana, which is about 3 hours, and I'll preach there all day Sunday on Easter. Then the following Friday, which is the 9th of April, we leave for Canada, and we'll be up in Manitoba, Canada, in the city of Winnipeg, then another city not too far, about an hour and a half out of Winnipeg, in a couple of churches. And you pray that the Lord would use us. And if you'd like to keep up with us and pray for us as we go along, please go to our website. It's TWWMMichael1.com, TWWM1.com. We went in to make our website many, many years ago, and it was already a TWWM. So we had to put a one behind ours to differentiate. TWWM1.com. If you get one of our prayer cards, it's on there. If you'll go to the website, you'll see a page there that tells you our schedule. You'll also see what God's been doing with the ministry. Then you can pray intelligently for us, and we certainly would appreciate it. Thank you for the love offering. Whatever it is, we're very grateful for it. Thank you for the opportunity, Ms. Rogers, for Ms. Williams to speak tomorrow night. Thank you for the beautiful, beautiful prophet's chamber that you have, and prophetess chamber, because my wife's up there with me. We are very grateful and for all the kindness of the things in it. Your pastor's always so kind to take us out, and other families have taken us out. Back when I first started in evangelism, I used to eat in homes. You eat in people's homes and they want to feed you and feed you and feed you and feed you. And each one of them has a specialty, and you've got to try it. You wouldn't want to offend them. And pretty soon my appreciation really got to showing real bad. So I had to do something about that, all right? But anyway, thank you. Some of you offered to take us out, and we can't do all of those times, but we certainly appreciate your kindness in doing so. And may the Lord bless you. Come out to Montana. Come by the house. We'll treat you so many ways you'll like one of them, okay? That's what my daddy always said. So I hope that you will do that. Please stop by the table and see the things there. We've sold out of a lot of things, but we'll order them for you. I'll get them here right away to you. We'll just call our office, and they'll ship them right out to you. If you'll do that, we certainly will appreciate it. All right, good. Well, I hope you have your Bible with you tonight. You'll turn in your Bible and open it to the book of Hebrews, turn there with us tonight, please. And when you get it open to the 11th chapter, would you look up and down your row and see if you see somebody without a Bible, and you might hand yours to them already open. Maybe they've been saved recently, or maybe they just don't have a Bible with them tonight, and everybody that way can look on a copy of the Word of God. So I hope that you'll do that. Hebrews is toward the back of your Bible. If you haven't been saved long and maybe not know where it is, the book of Hebrews over toward the back of your Bible. Heavenly Father, tonight we come in Jesus' holy name to ask you that in this hour you would speak to every heart. Would you speak to my heart? Father, would you challenge us tonight by thy power and thy might and by thy Holy Spirit? And would you get glory unto our blessed Lord Jesus and unto thy eternal self? And we sure will thank you. Help me not only to speak, but help the folks to hear. And may it find good ground and bring forth 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And if our Savior should come while we're having this service, help us to be ready to go. In his name, amen. In Hebrews and chapter 11, we look at faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now, I've never seen God. I have served the Lord 54 years now, but I've never seen him, never seen Christ. But I know they are. I know they are by faith. By faith. You see, if I showed you a dollar bill tonight and I said, "Who is that?" you'd say, "That's George Washington." You don't know that. You don't know that. That may be Henry Smith. You don't know. Boy, you said, "I saw a picture of George Washington." How did you know the picture you saw was George Washington? Huh? You believe that by faith. You've never seen anybody that saw anybody that saw Washington. You've never seen anybody that saw anybody that saw somebody that saw Washington. You've never seen anybody that saw anybody that saw anybody that saw anybody that saw anybody that thought they saw anybody that saw Washington. You believe that is George Washington because of a history book, because you've seen some pictures. And I want you to know tonight there's a God. His son's name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have a history book much more correct than any other history book in all the world. In fact, history is his story. It's his story. There wouldn't be a story, there wouldn't be a history without the Son of God. You see, when you write 2010, you have admitted Jesus Christ lived and died. Because the calendar is hooked to his birth and to his death. B.C., A.D., before Christ, after death. Every time you write the date down, you're saying Jesus Christ lived, Jesus Christ died, he was here, and this is what he did, so on. Let me just say to you tonight, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I look at the moon tonight, I look at the sun tonight, I look at the stars, and I know there's a God. That's substance. That's substance. I can see that. I can see the rivers. I can see how he designed them, as the Bible says. The streams run down to the rivers run down to the oceans, and then the clouds form. You know, it rains because rain is heavier than air. And so rain falls down to the ground. But when it gets down to the ground, the sun hits each drop of rain and divides it 16,000 particles. And those particles then are called vapor. And vapor is lighter than air. So it rises back up again, and the clouds come, and they draw the vapor out of the ocean, and there's no salt in the water again, and the clouds float over the land and water the land, and the same process starts all over again. So the rivers declare, there's a God. This is springtime. The limbs look so dead, don't they? They look so dead. But all of a sudden, there's a little twig on the limb. There's a little bump. And out of that bump comes a little sprout. And that sprout cries, resurrection. You go out in your garden and you sow some seeds. They're just little seeds. They're hard as a rock. And you drop them down the ground, put some earth over them, and God sends the sunshine and the rain. And pretty soon, up through that crust, that little sprout goes bong like that, and it cries, resurrection. Resurrection. Yes, there's a God tonight. By faith, I know that that's true. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. You see, there's so many things you don't see. It's a good thing. If you went home tonight and caught a spoonful of water out of your spigot and put it under a microscope, you would starve to death before you'd drink again. There's 1 million, more than 1 million, probably something like 10 million little things swimming around that water. And they're invisible to the human eye. The atoms are invisible. Different things that are out there that make up space. They've been there, atoms have been there the whole time. But we didn't know how to capture them. We didn't know what to do with them. And a lot of other things that are invisible. The protons and, you can go on and on. And God made all those. He spoke them into existence. And then he uses them as he designs for them to be. Some people, the Bible says in Peter that critics say, well, all things remain as they were. No, they don't. That's stupid. My granddad was born in 1867. My dad in 1893. Fastest thing in the world was a horse. Had been that way ever since creation. Then all of a sudden, there's an automobile. Then all of a sudden, there's an airplane. And all of a sudden, there's a jet airplane. When I first started flying, there wasn't anything except prop airplanes, except in the military. You get on there and they wind those things up and they'd vibrate like crazy. And finally they'd get off the ground and you're buzzing along at 340 miles an hour and thought, wow. Then all of a sudden the jet engine came out about 1960 on passenger planes and all of a sudden, 65 maybe. Now they fly 535 miles an hour. If they get a good tailwind, they're way past that. They travel along, and now our fighter jets break the sound barrier. Mach 2, they break it twice. They go on and all of that. Things don't remain the same. Used to people never heard from each other after they parted. If they did, it was a year by mail, and maybe 2 years by mail, and maybe never heard again, unless somebody happened to move from one country to another and come by and tell them. Now, in 1/14th of a second, radio waves cross the world. They hit a ball in New York, and you hear the crack of the bat in Los Angeles, or Japan, or Australia. No, all things don't remain the same. We have computers today. We have computers. Did you know compute's a real old word? If you go back and read the book of the Revelation, 13th chapter, and you talk about the number of the Antichrist, you know what it says in the Greek? It says, compute this number. Compute this number. Do you know what these little figures on the front of your computer is? We call them icons, right? Same word for idol. Same word for idol. Those are little idols. That word icon has been around for centuries and centuries and centuries. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. Did you know, you gawk and stare about marine land and about what these animals can do. Read the book of James. The book of James said every animal God ever created has already been tamed by man. They were riding dolphins 2,000 years ago. Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Amen. Try that one. Look. Faith says there's a God. Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Now, see, I learned that when I was a little boy. I'm the youngest of 14 children. When I was a boy, the children ate last. How many of you older folks remember that when you had to wait till everybody else had eaten? Yeah, come on. You don't want to tell your age. Thank you, sister, for being honest. Anyway, where I was raised, children ate last. All the adults ate, and then you got whatever's left. Ain't like today. Kids slobber on everything, you get what's left. I'd eat last. And when you eat last, I'm the youngest of 9 boys. I'm also the smallest. And I'm 6 feet and maybe 204, 206. They just gone up from me. When you eat last, you've got 14 children and mama and daddy and usually company, you learn what faith is. Time I got to the table, there wasn't anything except chicken gravy. Now, chicken gravy, if you have any gumption at all, will tell you one time or another there was a chicken. And so chicken gravy is the substance of things hoped for. And over in the table, middle of the table, was a huge platter of bones. And that was evidence of things I never saw. So I learned what faith was. And I look at the heavens and I look at all that God has made, the animal creation, and I could talk for hours about that and the human body with all of its intricate being. David said we're fearfully, wonderfully made. I went to a fellow one time out in California. I was preaching in this church up at Petaluma, California, the pastor said, "Preacher, we've got a man in our church that can look in your eye and tell everything ever happened to you." He said, "You want to go down and see him?" I said, "Let's go down and see him." I went down there, and this guy brought this big microscope up there, and he was looking in my eye, and he said, "This man never saw me in his life." He said, "Somewhere around the 7th grade, you broke your right arm." I said, 6th grade. He said, "I knew it was running there somewhere." He said, "Your dad has heart trouble." I said, "He does." He said, "You're getting up at night 2 or 3 times." I said, "Yeah, I've got a bladder infection." That guy read my life like a book. Because everything that happens to the right side of your body is recorded in your left eye. And everything that happens to the right side of your body, the left side of your body, is recorded in your right eye. Do you understand tonight that there are 6.4 billion people in the world, and not one of them can put their finger on an ink pad and make the same mark I make? Did you know they have discovered now that no two retinas are alike? Did you know that inside your ear are 20,000 hairs? And if just 2 or 3 of them get out of order, you don't hear right? You think the Bell system discovered fibro optics? They didn't. God built them in the human ear. And you know, did you know inside your body are 59,200 miles of veins, tubes, and arteries? That if they took you apart and meticulously tied you together, you'd reach 2.5 times around the earth? Huh? Did you know your heart pumps 5,000 gallons of blood every 24 hours through your system? Enough to fill a railroad tank car? Do you understand while it's doing that,
that it generates enough energy to raise a railroad engine 12 inches off the ground? Do you understand? I'm 74 years old, and just very quick now, my heart will have beat 3 billion times. Never had a minute off? If it did, you wouldn't have me tonight. Did you know, one day in my mother's womb, it wasn't beating? And the next day it was? And nobody went down there and cranked it? There's a God. There's a God. Now, look at verse 8, please. And by faith Abraham, when he was called out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. The Bible says in verse 8, by faith, Abraham was called out by God. Abraham was called out by God. Abraham didn't have a Bible. Abraham couldn't compare his call to anybody's call. Young men come to me, I'm sure they have, Brother Rogers, over the years, and said, "Preacher, how was it when you were called?" Or they'll write some other preacher and say, "How do you know God called you? Or how was it when God called you?" And I've had thousands of young college students ask me and others ask me. But Abraham couldn't compare his call to anybody. Hadn't been anybody called. He didn't have a Bible. He couldn't turn and see Elijah's call. He couldn't turn and see Elisha's call from God. He couldn't see any of these. He didn't have a Bible, not one page of it. He couldn't write Dr. Rice. He wasn't even alive then. He couldn't say, "Dear doctor, I have a question." No, there wasn't anybody. By faith, Abraham was called out. God went down to the Ur of Chaldees and he said, Abram, I want you to come out. I want you to leave your mama and your daddy and all your kinfolk and your kindred, and I want you to leave your country, and I want you to get up and get out. I want you to travel up the Euphrates River to the land of Aram. I want you to bend left there and go down to the land of Canaan. Abraham, I'm calling you by faith." And the Bible said Abraham was called by faith. Then it said the second thing, he went out by faith. By the same faith that he was called out, he went out, not knowing whether he went. Not knowing whether he went. Somebody always comes to me and says, Brother Williams, I just step right out if I just knew what God wanted. I said, step out and you'll find out what he wanted. Nobody can steer a ship in the harbor. The greatest sea captain in the world can't do anything with that ship till you loose it and put it out in the water, and then he can steer it where it goes and belongs. And God does the same thing, friend. If you're waiting on God, you're killing time. And tonight, Abraham not only was called out by faith, but he went out by faith, not knowing whether he went. He went home and he said, "Sarah, we're supposed to leave this place. We're supposed to leave here." She said, "How do you know?" He said, "God just called me." She said, "Who?" He said, "God." Abraham was raised in paganism. Said, "God Almighty." That's what he called him, God Almighty. He said, "These people have a God of the flies and a God of the crops and a God of the dark and a God of the day. They have a God of the battle and they have a God of the storm and they have this and that God." He said, "I only have one. He's Almighty." That's what his name was to him. Nobody ever knew God's name till Moses. God said, I wasn't known by my name to Moses, to Abraham and to Jacob. But he gave Moses his name. He said, my name is I Am. I Am. I Am. I like what one fellow said. He said, "I ain't talking about the I was. I'm talking about the I Am." Amen. Amen. I mean, right now. Right now. Here he said, nobody knew God's name. Nobody knew his name until he revealed it to Moses. But he goes home and tells his wife, "We're going out. We're going out here. We're going to leave all of this. We're going to leave all of this possessions and all of the kinfolk and all my inheritance that I would have from my dad and everybody else. And we're going to get out of here." All on faith. All on faith. Try that one. Try that one. Just go home tonight and say, honey, we're supposed to go. Yeah, where? I don't know. Just going. Just going. Not only will your wife think you're nuts, the whole church will think you're nuts. Just going to go. Poor Sally. Poor Betty. Whatever her name was. You know. Henry. Really gone nuts. Come home the other night and said, we're supposed to go. Where? Don't know. Just going. Abraham went out by faith. Abraham went out by faith. When God called me 50 years ago to be an evangelist, I didn't have any money. I didn't have any savings account. Had a wife, had children, had rent, had car payments, had everything else. And I just walked off from the best job I ever had. And just walked out in the street and said, here I am. And went home, had 1,000 cards printed saying I was an evangelist. And that's how I started 50 years ago. And we went through times that you couldn't believe. I mean, times that were hard and difficult, and we about starved to death. But God came, and God came, and God came, and God came. And it hasn't always been Dr. Tom Williams, and it hadn't always been preaching at the big churches, and it hasn't always been, this and that and the other. Let me just say to you tonight, if God's calling you, then get going. Amen. Just get going for God. God is faithful. He that calleth you is faithful. He will also do it. He will also do it. And here we find tonight, Abraham went out by faith. And then notice, if you would please, in verse 9. In verse 9, the Bible says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. The word tabernacle is an interchangeable word for a tent. He dwelt in a tent. He said, in dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You see, Abraham not only went out, was called out by faith and went out by faith, but Abraham stayed out by faith. He stayed out. You stay out, ladies and gentlemen, by the same faith that you go out with. By the same faith you're called out with. There's been difficult times, and I'm not going to go into all of those tonight. Just like right now, as I told you this morning, Ms. Williams and I are yesterday sometime. Ms. Williams and I have had 6 paychecks since last July. Why don't you just give up? Don't give up on God. God knows what we need. God knows what we need. And let me just say to you, God knows what you need. Don't run off on God in this financial crisis. You hear me?
Amen.
You hear me? Don't go home and have a pity party. If you were tithing when you had $1,000 a week come in, then tithe on whatever you have coming in.
Amen.
Doesn't make any difference how much it is. It's whether you're faithful or not about it.
Right.
You just stay faithful to God. When my first wife died, my little girl died, I was left with enormous, enormous bills. There I was, making $80 a week. Wasn't a bad salary in 1958. I was making $80 a week. So here's these large, large bills. I had a little girl live in the hospital 4 months and 20 days. And you can imagine that bill and all the other bills of 2 funerals and everything else. It took me 17 years to pay those bills. But I never missed a payment. When the hospital sent a person over to our house, we owed them so much money over to my house and said, now, Mr. Williams, how much you make a week? I said, make $80 a week. They said, okay, you can have this much for rent, this much for groceries, and this much for this, and we get the rest of it every week. I said, okay, great. I said, except I need 8 more dollars. And they said, 8 more dollars? Why? I said, I need to tithe. If I don't tithe, God's going to kill me and you guys are going to get nothing. And they said, well, okay, we can have 8 more dollars. Like I said, it took me 17 years, like buying a house. It was just like buying another house. And 17 years to pay it. Never missed a tithe, never missed a payment. Look, there's a God in heaven. And he's not cashing in his streets tonight. No, he's not. He isn't running out and saying, okay, angels, get that gold off them streets. We're in trouble. He's not doing that. One guy said when he died, he won't take his gold with him, so they put it in the back, and sure enough, when he died, he took it with him to heaven. One of the angels said, we check everything comes in. Let me see what's in the bag. Oh, he said, let him buy. It's just paving material.
That doesn't mean anything to God. Look, if God can take a widow lady that has nothing and feed his prophet for 3.5 years plus her and her son, then we have a great God. If God can take a little pitcher of oil and fill barrels and barrels and barrels and barrels with it, and that little quart of oil doesn't diminish one drop, and that lady sells the oil and pays all of her debts and lives off the rest, we have a great God. The God of the impossible. Did you know God fed 2.5 million Jews in the wilderness for 40 years, kept their shoes from wearing out, kept their clothes from wearing out, and he gave them flesh in the every evening, and he gave them the manna from heaven, which Psalm 78 says was angels' food. When the angels got through eating every morning, God just shoveled the rest of it out, and it fell down to earth, and the Jews ate it. And God took care of them all those years out in the wilderness. Can you understand? They were in a wilderness. I didn't say a forest. I said a wilderness. And yet they had enough wood to start their fires every day to cook their food with and to live off of. And they had enough wood. 2.5 million people, just to start the fires, took 55 boxcar loads of wood every single morning for 40 years. Plus sacrificing all the animals. We have a great God. We have a God of supply. We have a God of supply. He might not supply what you think you ought to have, but He'll supply what you need. He'll supply what you need. And please, please, don't give up on God in this financial crunch. Just go right on with God and believe God and serve God, and God will take care of you. And you can read all down through history how God has kept people. And Ms. Williams has a book that she reads. It's a very old book. And just a miraculous answers to prayer. People had nothing to eat, and God blessed it and used it and took care of it. And on and on and on and on and on. And God takes care of things. Every month, it's a miracle. You know, we have the ranch at Belgrade. We have the ranch at Belt. Both of those ranches have to be paid for. We have the big motorhome. That payment has to be made. I'm telling you, it's a miracle a month. We were, last January, was a year ago, God told us to go down to a little church and preach for a week. I haven't given anybody a week of meetings in 20-something years. And here's this little tiny church. I'm talking about maybe 15, 16, 17, 18 people on a good day. God sends us down there for a week. And we're preaching, and it's the last of the month, and all the payments are due. It was unbelievable. It takes $25,000 a month to run the ministry. And we had paid about $5,000 of that. And there we had that tremendous debt. And we're in this little tiny church. I preach, and they give us an offering. They did real well for a little bitty tiny church. Gave us $1,500 for the week. And I thank God for that and was happy about that. Ms. Williams and I were rejoicing over it. And a young lady, maybe 32, 33 years old, in the church, walked up to Ms. Williams, and we were about to leave, handed her a white envelope and said, God told my husband and I to give you this before you left town. And we got out in the car, and just like you would have, Ms. Williams looked to see what it was. And I'd already started down the driveway, and she said, honey, you better pull over. And I pulled over, and she wept, and I wept, and we cried, and shouted, and praised God, and was $20,000. God has a way. God has a way. God has a way. If you just do what He says, you know. Oh, you say, that never happened to me. Yeah, I know. I know. Look, God isn't going to give you a road map. God isn't going to give you a day-by-day planner. The Jews didn't know what they were going to do every day. He said, if that cloud lifts, go. If that cloud stays, stay. They didn't know tomorrow if the cloud was going to lift or stay. They didn't know if it was going to stay on top of the tabernacle for a month or for 24 hours. They didn't know. They didn't know. Why don't you quit having to know everything? Just walk by faith. Just walk by faith. Just walk by faith, you know, with God. And what a blessing. What a blessing it is to walk by faith. And I hope
tonight. You know, that you can believe God for that. Ms. Williams and some of her group yesterday were praying for a lady here that needed a job. And you know what she got yesterday? She got a job. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm about to have a running fit here. Amen. You'll have to pardon me. I'll run around this building. But I'll be back, okay? I'll be back. Abraham stayed out by faith. Stay out by faith. Don't give up on God. Don't go back on God. He that looketh and forward, Jesus said, and he that looketh back is not worthy to be called my disciple. And here we find tonight Abraham stayed out by faith. And then notice verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city. He looked out by faith. He looked out by faith. He said, I'm looking out yonder. I'm looking out yonder. And out yonder somewhere is a city built by God. There's a city out there. John saw it. John in the Revelation said, I saw that city not sitting there. It was coming down 2,000 years ago. It's been on its way for 2,000 years, friends. You look all over the heavens tonight with the giant telescopes that they have, and all the stars in the heaven look so thick. If you drove up through there with a car, you'd rip the fenders off. That's how thick they look, the trillions and trillions and trillions of them. But out behind the northern star is nothing. And that's what Job said. Job said when he wrote his book 3,000 years ago, he said this. He said, God stretcheth the north over the empty place. And it is an empty place. And when he looked out there in the book of the Revelation, this city was coming down from God because God lives in the north. Not Santa Claus, okay? And God lives in the north. You don't know where he lives, but he lives there. And every good and perfect gift coming from God, not from the funny-faced little fellow. And I want you to understand tonight, God lives in the mystic north, and God is a sender of good gifts, and God knows everything about you and about me, not some little fat fellow. I want you to understand tonight, dear friend, there's a God. Amen. And Abraham looked out by faith. By faith. Don't worry about Santa Claus. He'll be okay, all right? I called him the other day and I said, how's Rudolph? He said, tasty. And two little boys was talking. One of them said, you believe in the devil? He said, nah. He said, probably just like Santa Claus, turn out to be Dad. Ouch. Abraham looked out by faith. Have you looked out lately? There is a city. It has 12 foundations. The builder, the designer, the architect, the maker is God. A city that he's building four square. A city that's ready for us to occupy. A city that's on its way down. Hallelujah. It's from God. Abraham in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. You remember the child was born and so forth. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And Abraham spoke out by faith. He spoke out and he said, we're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. Why do you think Paul wrote by the unction of the Holy Ghost, our citizenship papers are already over there, from whence we have our conversation? You know, really, I'm serious. Some of you folks need to start shouting just a little bit. They shout up there, you're going to get plumb hoarse trying to get into this thing when you get to heaven. And you better start warming them vocal cords up down here. Amen? Amen. Amen. Baptists used to shout. Yeah, Baptists used to shout. We don't shout anymore because we don't pray anymore. You pray about something long enough and it happens, you'll shout. I mean, you'll shout. You'll just shout. And I hope today that you can speak out by faith. Abraham did. Abraham said, we're just pilgrims. We're just pilgrims passing through. We're strangers here. Amen. Amen.
And then, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. The same man that was called out by faith, the same man that went out by faith, the same man that stayed out by faith, the same man that looked out by faith, the same man that spoke out by faith, thank God that same man sold out by faith. You might, I don't know. You might give God your house tonight. I don't know. You might even be willing to give God your car tonight. You might be willing to give God your savings account tonight. But I don't believe for a moment that you'd give God your son tonight. I don't know that I would. I don't know that I could take my son to Moriah and treat him like a sheep and slaughter him. I don't know. But I do know this man did. He couldn't look in the Bible. He couldn't read about the Hebrew children. He couldn't look in the Bible. And he couldn't read about the crossing of the Red Sea. He couldn't look in the Bible and see the lion's den story. He couldn't see any of those things. But God told him, in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, verse 1, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac. I want you to take him to a mountain that I'm going to show you, Mount Moriah, which is Mount Calvary of the New Testament. You can find that in 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Same mountain. And he took him yonder, 3 days' journey. He was dead 3 days in the mind of Abraham. Because in the very second verse of Genesis 22, the old man began to chop wood. I want you to take Isaac and sacrifice him. Very next verse, he began to chop wood for the sacrifice. He loaded the wood on the donkey. He got Isaac. He got a kettle of fire, and he started out. He got a knife. They went 3 days. He stationed the two witnesses that he took with him, two of his young men, and he said, you stay here. And he said, the boy and I will go yonder, notice, and the boy and I will come back. And he got out there. And they started up the mountain, and Isaac said, Daddy, here's the fire. Daddy, here's the knife. Daddy, here's the wood on my back. But I don't see anything to sacrifice. He hadn't told his boy yet what he's going to do to him. They got up the top of the mountain, and he told Isaac, Isaac, 3 days ago, God told me to kill you. But I promise you this, son. I promise you this. You know how you and I have laid by the fire at night after Mother went to bed? You know how we've taken those goat hair pillows and propped up our heads? And I've talked to you about the stars of heaven and how you're going to have more children than the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. And he said, Aki, you know that God promised that. And you know that Daddy knows God. And you and I have been out and we've talked to God and we've sacrificed to God a lot of times. And Aki, I'm going to kill you. But as sure as I kill you, God is going to raise you from the dead. And we're going back home to Mother together. And that boy, somewhere around 22, 23 years old, could have easily overpowered his anxious daddy, his elderly daddy, who was now 122, 123 years old. And he could have said, Daddy, you may kill something, but it ain't going to be me. But he didn't do that. Because he knew that his daddy knew God and believed God. He said, Daddy, if you say God will raise me from the dead, I'll see you in a few minutes. And the Bible goes on to say in like figure, he received him from the dead. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which also he received him. In a figure. By faith, the old man sold out. Would you sell out to God tonight? No reserves. No reserves. You ever hear of a man named William Borden? A young college student that went to Yale. Divinity School, back when it was a decent school to be in.
He inherited the Borden fortune at a very young age, became chairman of the board of the Borden Company. God called him to the mission field. And William Borden got on a ship going to the mission field. His mother begged him. She said, "William, retain the chairmanship of the board. That pays enough to handsomely live. You'll never want for anything. You've given away all your money. At least retain the chairmanship of the board." And he said, "Mother, how can I live by missionaries who don't know where the next meal's coming from and retain the chairman of the board of the Borden Company?" "No, Mother. No, Mother. I too must live by faith." When he got outside the harbor in New York City, and he knew that the ship was bound for the mission field, far, far away, He took the fly leaf of his Bible, and he wrote, "No return. No return." Under that, he wrote, "No reserves." Didn't keep anything to live off of. He died before he ever reached the mission field, 25 years old. He called for his Bible as he lay dying, and under "no reserves and no return," he wrote, "No regrets." Please sell out tonight so you don't have any regrets. So you don't have any regrets. Just sell out to God. Just sell out to God. Don't reserve anything for yourself. You don't own you. He does. You're bought with a price. Bought with a price that we talked about this morning. The death at Calvary. He paid a price that no one else could pay. He who knew no sin took our sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I beg you tonight, Mother and Daddy. I beg you, Grandma and Grandpa. Sell out to God tonight. Just sell out to God tonight. Our Father, thank you this evening for a man that was called out, went out, stayed out, looked out, spoke out, and sold out by faith. Forgive us, our Father. You told us without faith it is impossible. Without faith it is impossible to please you. Oh, tonight, our Father. Oh, tonight, that you'd fill this altar, you'd fill these aisles with people who would say, "I'm going to work and speak out by faith. I'm going to look out by faith. I'm going to get my eyes off my circumstances. I'm going to get my eyes off of a decaying world. I'm going to get my eyes off of a corrupt government. I'm going to get my eyes off of a troubled, dying planet. And I'm going to look out. And I'm going to speak out, and I'm going to sell out to you, Heavenly Father, that in my life, and in my marriage, and in my home, and in my life, as a teenager, as a boy, as a girl, as a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, a single parent, I'm going to sell out to you. No reserves, no reserves." Oh, our Father, tonight, I pray that you'll give us a service that long we'll remember and be a memory in our lives of what you did at Berean Baptist Church on this night. In Jesus' blessed name and for His sake. Let's stand.